And welcome to the first ever Partners in Crime podcast review show, The Crime Beat.
Crime Beat.
Nice. I am your host, Esteban, and with me, my handy-dandy co-host,
Alex.
Nice.
Like, I'm sure you're going to like introduce me, or if you were going to let me do it, and then I realized what it was that like last second.
Well, what would you like to be known as, then?
I don't. I just didn't know if you were going to be like, in my handy-dandy notebook, Alex, and I'm like, hey, it's me.
Like the Dora the Explorer situation where you're like my backpack where that talks.
Exactly. But just like I didn't know if you were going to be the one be like, and Alex is here as always. And I was like, ooh, hey. You know?
We can't get him out of the house.
Exactly. Yeah, so I wasn't sure, but I think it was pretty seamless.
I mean, we've been doing this for quite a while that you would think that we know what we're doing. But yes. We're just kind of just We're just two guys in a room with some equipment that have no business making a podcast. No,
whoa,
I'm kidding.
Whoa.
So this is our first review show, dude.
Yeah, it is. At least
so
in the way that it's
yes, unfortunately
structured in the way that it is now. Of course, you know. So structured in that sense, this is our first review show, but it's not our first ever review process.
Right. Well, we love talking about movies. That's kind of how we got into this whole podcast game, and mainly superhero movies and everything. But then you know we started watching shows because we found out what those were. So you love Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. I love Walking Dead. You like Walking Dead. We both love superhero movies and sci-fi, fantasy, epic
Stranger
adventure
things,
stuff like that.
We
love talking about this stuff all the time, and we decided that instead of cramming it all into one show on our podcast, we should just split it up. Do the news and all that in one show, do the reviews in the other show. How about that?
Yeah. Or at least have separate review shows. So
yeah, definitely.
In that sense. You know, and like you said, we watch a lot of different stuff. So Game of Thrones for sure. You know, Flash, Gotham. If I get back into that, I stopped. We got like a new dish receiver. So I missed a decent amount of the episodes. And then by the time it started recording again, it was only like three left of the season. So I haven't caught up. I'll watch it. And then my brother like watches Westworld, and I know he would love to come on here and talk about it because he geeks out to that show. So, I think we have a repertoire that can definitely fill some of these episodes for sure. And
we definitely have a free schedule that requires us watching a bunch of TV.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say free or anything, but I mean, we have the interest definitely.
I mean, we scam off our neighbor's Wi-Fi, so of course it's not free.
Also, this fall is full of a good amount of. You know, we have the new Blade Runner, and we have Justice League, and we have Star Wars, and
Thor Ragnarok,
and that's just to name a few.
Stuff.
So we're gonna have a lot of stuff that we can.
And as movies
review.
And as movies come out, we will be reviewing those movies as well. Full disclosure for this show, this is a spoiler zone. If anybody hasn't watched, we'll give you a an acknowledgement, you know, letting you know that this is going to be full of spoilers.
This is your only warning.
Knock it out.
Yeah. If you have not watched episode 4, season 7 of Game of Thrones,
this is not the podcast for you.
Get out.
Yet.
Watch it and then come back. Like you're not banished forever. Hey, welcome back. I'm glad you watched it. Hopefully you liked it. We're going to talk about it right now.
Everything's going to be okay.
If it's still you and you haven't left yet, get out. If you could just come back, hey, man. Hey, lady. What's going on, guys?
I like how you weren't, what's the word I'm looking for? You weren't that, you're equal, right?
Gender specific.
Yeah.
I wasn't gender specific?
Yeah.
Hey, man, everybody can be a nerd.
Hey, it. Hey, something.
Hey, no. Everybody
hey,
can
dog.
Be a nerd. Dog, yeah, it's your dog.
My dog watches the TV.
Well, yeah, your dog is a unique dog, though, so.
Is that just a good way of saying it's a dumb dog?
No, Duke's not dumb. He's just, I came over to your house yesterday to watch Game of Thrones, and Duke hasn't barked at me for a long time, and.
He's not exactly the best guard dog either, so don't take that as.
So I kneeled down next to him. I was getting ready to pet him, but I was texting on my phone. And I don't know if he thought it was a weapon or something, because he looks at me and he starts just growling. I was like, dude, come on. And I put my hand on his head and I was petting him, and he like just still kind of
growling. Well, if it was you, I do that to you sometimes.
You growl at me?
Yeah. Alrighty, so enough. Like we said before, this is our review show. We're going to be talking about shows, movies, what we like about it, what we didn't like about it, what we think about it, all that jazz. Like we said before, a spoiler review for season 4 of
Season 7
of episode 4 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and so every time we start something like this, we will definitely kind of give you the
heads up
of that, and then we'll give you the name of the episode, kind of a little synopsis of said episode, and then we're not going to like sit here and go scene by scene. We're not going to, you know.
The stuff that pops out to us.
Yeah, it's stuff that, you know, we'll do our best to kind of be like, so it went from here to there, but, like, we're not going to go step by step.
It began, it ended.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We're better for it.
Perfect. So, like you said, episode 4, season 7.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten to that part so far.
Yeah, pretty good episode, I would say.
Well, this, for those who have, you know, been watching Game of Thrones for the last 8 years now, this is, you know, it's new territory, you know, new grounds for a lot of people, even those who've been reading the books, because now they're finally, the show and the books have caught up to each other. And I think episode one or two was a big episode because a lot of fans were freaking out over the fact that Daenerys finally came to Westeros, and that hasn't even happened in the books yet. So that was like a big episode, and that's why at the end of it, they took a long time for her to like touch the sand, walk up to the Dragonstone Castle.
Yeah, she said, like, two words in that episode.
Yeah, and it still resonates. People are like, oh my god, I can't believe this is happening. Mm-hmm. Daenerys and Jon finally met in this last episode, episode 3, and that was a big, you know, moment, and that happened relatively soon in the episode.
Started the episode off.
Which was a great back and forth between Jon and Daenerys. Like, they just, mm-hmm. like, not one of them had, like, it's not like they were trying to, like, one-up each other, but it was kind of like they were trying to be on
equal.
They
were just
playing.
Both being very assertive and
exactly. And exactly, they didn't want to step down because they're technically they're both enemies at this point.
Exactly. But that was last week's episode. So as of yesterday, it was, like you mentioned, it was episode 4 of this season, and it was titled Spoils of War.
Mm-hmm.
And the official plot of it was Daenerys fights back, for those who saw last week's episode. Jaime faces an unexpected situation. You could say that again. And what we've been waiting for since episode 1, Arya comes home.
Yeah.
So last week, again, hey, get ready because spoilers are coming.
Right.
Last week, they kind of played us with a little fake out in regards to, they asked Lady Sansa to come to the, you know, the front gate to Winterfell, and everybody's like, oh, great, Arya's back, and it was Bran instead, which was cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's great.
It was kind of out of left field. I was like, oh, that's right, Bran's still here.
Yeah, Bran's going back. I forgot. Yeah, and so as of now, all of the living, you know, Stark children are back at Winterfell.
Well, Bran's homecoming was kind of just bittersweet because he's there, but he's the Three-Eyed Raven now, so he's kind of bumming everybody out because
he's not really there.
What's happening with everything, and so mm-hmm. I don't need to be here anymore. Like, even in this episode when, what's the girl that's with him right now? Isn't it,
I have to look up her name.
Mira or something,
so, yeah,
Mira, something like that.
So many names.
The one that's kind of traveling with Bran, she's like, hey, I'm going to go back with my family.
Died.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, see ya. She's like, that's mm-hmm. all I got to say. Like, after everything, I've carried your ass to, you know, from the woods back, you know, like, this is ridiculous. That's all you have to say. And he's like, yeah, sure. Thank you. Bye. And that's pretty much it. Like, that's, Bran's really cut off from reality. And even when he's like last episode, when he was saying hi to Sansa, she was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here. You're all a big, happy family, kind of, not really. And he's like, oh, hi, yeah, I saw you on your wedding night, that horrible night that no one wants to relive. Yeah, I saw that. And she's like,
okay,
yeah,
well.
And so when Arya comes back, it's kind of
more what we wanted.
It almost seems to me like they kind of came back the way they left. You know, Arya is this kind of this wild child mm-hmm. type deal. You know, she doesn't come back different, you know, a different person. You know, they kind of come back the way they left Winterfell. You know, Bran was kind of depressed when he left Winterfell, and now he's kind of just out of it again. You know, he's devoid of life because if you remember, when Bran's in his bed at the beginning of the series, he says kind of like, well, what do I got to live for now? I'm just kind of here. Right here. I mean, I can't ride. I can't, you know, shoot a bow. I can't do anything. I'm being carried around by a giant. And when he comes back, he's kind of like, well, I mean, I see everything now. I know everything now. So, I mean, what am I going to do now? Oh, look, thanks, Littlefinger, for the knife.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so
he's just kind of just there.
Exactly.
Same thing with, you know, Sansa. She's mm-hmm. kind of like, we'll get to it later, but there's a scene in the middle of this week's episode where Sansa sees Arya and the skills that she has. Mm-hmm. And she's just kind of like, to me, it seemed more than what she was conveying on the screen. Because there's a whole relationship that Sansa and Arya have that kind of was just stopped when all the stuff of season 1 happened with their father and dying and all that.
Yeah.
But
I was going to say, so her name's Mira Reed.
Mira, okay.
Yeah, and so, yeah, she's heading back to...
that's the one that was traveling with Bran.
Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. His brother died. And she's heading back to the Neck to assist her family, but the Cronogmen, I think that's how you say that. I always don't know how to say her name, but or say their name, but her people, you know.
Right.
And she's heading back there, and then yeah,
her Bannerman or whatever.
Yeah, he has. Well,
sort not of. Bannerman, like just yeah, her village folk.
Yeah, village folk is a good. Yeah,
village people.
But but yeah, and you know, Bran obviously, yeah, very blank face and all that. But it was cool that I so yeah, you mentioned Littlefinger giving him the knife that was meant to kill him.
Right.
And we still don't know.
That was like a big. That was like a big point that he gave him that knife. Like I, because Littlefinger. Well, because who orchestrated Bran's assassination attempt? That was
the
Lannister family.
But it wasn't
Tyrion Lannister.
Because like
that's the knife that originally...
They took it from Tyrion.
Yeah. And Littlefinger eventually ended up because he won the knife in a bet or something like it.
No. So Catelyn took that dagger with her to King's Landing to try to find out who it was.
It came into Littlefinger's possession.
Yeah, well,
she
left it there with Ned, and then Littlefinger took it, you know.
After he took it back, Ned died.
But so it was interesting, you know, that whole scene that he's trying to do his little technique. And, you know, as a viewer, you see, you know, kind of your opinion with Bran is like he sees everything. So you can't fool him
right.
with any of your crap. But at the same time, he's just also so blank faced to it all.
Right.
But it opens the door later for Arya getting there, because I'm pretty sure he's on Arya's list. Littlefinger is.
Peter Baelish. Cause I'm trying to rethink of all the names that she would say in her name, like Joffrey, Cersei. The guy that killed Cyril Farrell, her sword master, like all these, the Hound, you know, and I don't think Peter Baelish was on her list because
I think she says Littlefinger. I can find out why you're
yeah okay
you're
well it's funny because when Arya comes back, you know, the way she's greeted, you know, at her home, she's like, hey, this is Arya Stark, can I come into my house? And then the guardsmen are like, no, get the heck out of here, you know, like mm-hmm. you don't belong here, you're just another North folk. And she's like, no, seriously, I'm Arya Stark. And they're like, okay, well, no, we don't believe you. She's like, well, tell Jon Snow, he's the king of the North, that his sister's here. And they're like, yeah, Jon Snow's not here. She's like, okay, well, who's in charge? And she even asked for, like, the maester that was there when she was still living in Winterfell. She asked for the, like, the lead guard. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, no one by that name is here. Because Arya, to her knowledge, everything is still relatively the same. Like, she doesn't know... I don't think she knew about Bran and Rickon, you know, like the fate of Bran and Rickon when Theon took over. I don't even think she knows Theon took over or betrayed.
No, she doesn't know any of that, really.
So she's coming back home with kind of not knowing what to expect from everything that's obviously that we as the viewers know. And like I said, they're like, okay, fine, we'll go tell your sister, quote unquote, is here. To Lady Sansa, and so she's just kind of there, and she's kind of taking the sight that, you know, she hasn't been here in so mm-hmm. many years, and it's just crazy how everything just happened, and now she's just back where she started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Littlefinger isn't or wasn't on her list,
right?
But she did make a good point. I'm looking at the people on the list, and a lot of them are dead.
Yeah, most of because they even address that in the show. They're like, what Sansa asks her, what's Or, no, Bran's like, I saw you on the crossroads, because she eventually, Arya meets up with Bran and be like, hey, what's up? What's going on? I haven't seen you. I'm still crippled. Yeah. What's going on? You know, and so she's like, hi, Bran. She gives him a hug, and again, he, like, is devoid of life at that point. He's like, I saw you on the crossroads. I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's going back to an episode earlier where Arya's, like, debating whether to go to Winterfell or go to King's Landing to go kill Cersei. Like, she can really do that.
Yeah, she wants to go to King's Landing to kill Cersei.
And so she
ends up the mountain. The mountain's on the list, too.
Right. So she ends up going to Winterfell because she's like, you know what, my family's there. Why would I want to give that up? And
yeah.
So, and then she's like, what do you mean you saw me? And Sansa's like, oh, yeah, he sees stuff now. So, you know, we have to live with that. I mean, he's already that much of a bummer anyway. So now mm-hmm. he sees everything. I mean, I'm pretty sure he saw us going to the bathroom the other day, too.
Yeah, he's definitely.
He's kind of weird because Bran was always that one character. I was like, something big is going to happen with Bran.
I mean, it kind of did because he potentially could be a big part for a lot of things.
But now he just kind of. I don't know. He just kind of. The way he's treating the people that. And I get it. He's the three-eyed raven now, and he has to, you know, adhere to a certain standard. Like, he can't. Like, he used to be Brandon Stark. He even said that. I was like, I used to be Brandon Stark. Anyway.
But I remember so much now that I don't remember how it felt.
Right. Well, Brandon. Bran even says, like, I know that Peter Baelish is on your list, and Sansa's like, what list? And so that's when Arya reveals that Peter Baelish is on her list.
And no, like Baelish isn't on the list.
Or
Cersei.
Somebody, Cersei was, yeah. They bring up the fact that Arya has a list now. Anyway, and so all that kind of just leads up to the big Winterfell scene of Arya going up against Brienne of Tarth.
Yeah, so pretty much she's there with Podrick, and they're kind of sparring. And she,
good old Podrick.
And she wanders in, which is cool because, you know, they didn't necessarily have the same relationship that she had with Sansa, but, you know, now Sansa's realizing that she knows her also because she hears her say, Podrick say to her, you know, or actually Arya says to her that, you know, you said you protect both Stark daughters and all that. So that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool seeing them fight. You know, she uses her speed to kind of counter the strength that Brienne has.
Yeah.
And then that's what you're mentioning, too, is Littlefinger and Sansa wander by. He's always just following her like a dog.
Right. It's so creepy. He's like 50 and she's like...
He's like 60.
Yeah.
And she's like 20.
The point is, he's too old.
But yeah, and she watches him fight, and you just see the skills that...
Arya has developed over
time,
yeah.
And then, yeah, and then she, you know, Brienne, she kind of beats Brienne in a sense. I mean, they both kind of get the sword and knife up to each other, you
right?
Know, almost like
evenly
a,
matched.
Yeah, almost in a sense. But she asked, "Who? Where'd you learn that? Who taught you that?" And she said, "No one," which obviously is the right answer, you know. So that was a
it was a cool little scene. There's this one really there's this one BA scene that Arya does where she's like on the ground after Brienne like Spartan kicks.
Yeah,
her.
Which I thought like people were gonna be like.
I know.
And Arya's like, here we go.
No, she's like, let's do this, all right? Like, come on. And so she does this weird little turn, flip, and, like, ninja move. And I was like, oh, okay, wow. Like, Arya's really, it just shows what Arya can do. Because
we hadn't really seen her fight, like, at that level.
Not really, because she did attempt to fight a couple of people when she was with the Hound. And ultimately, the Hound just kind of took care of
her.
The
Hound usually did his thing.
So we never really saw the potential of what Arya can do, because when she was traveling, she was practicing her moves and everything. So I'm just safe to assume that she can hold her own. But there's this one scene, like you were mentioning, Littlefinger and Sansa walk by when they see Brienne and Arya fighting. And right after that's done, Arya looks up at them, and Sansa kind of has like this look on her face.
Almost like kind of concerned, but also impressed. You know,
I took
confused,
it as
interest, like, hey, I got questions, you know. Like
I know,
face,
right? Definitely,
you know?
Like, where'd you learn that stuff? I mean, that's. Mm-hmm.
I think she's also starting to put together too. Like, Arya has been like on a long, dangerous road.
Right. Well, that and I kind of, this is me reading too much into things, but I overanalyzed, and to me that look that Sansa gave was kind of like, okay, so Jon's king in the North. He's been back from the dead. You know, he's leading an army of wildlings that's never happened before against an army of the dead. So he's doing pretty important stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even Littlefinger is, you know, Lord of the Vale. Bran has powers. And now Arya is a big assassin type deal.
I mean, she's an assassin in a sense.
And
at least she won't kill people that don't deserve it.
Right. And Sansa just kind of there. You know, I feel like it's like it was a look of inferiority. Like
yeah,
she's
I don't know if it's anything like that. I mean, because
well, that's just what I got from it, because she was just like, oh, damn, like everybody else can do stuff now. Everybody's done stuff.
Well,
and
what
I'm
if it's more of
leading.
Like everybody can do stuff. Look at us. Kind of like look where we were. Look where we are now thing, too.
True. But I mean,
she could easily be the Lady of Winterfell, because Jon obviously is reluctant about doing it. And that's them still assuming he's Ned's son.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bran already said he wanted to talk to him first thing. He said, you know, oh, yeah, where's Jon? I need to.
Right. Like I said, I
do need to speak to him kind of thing. So he's going to find out that he's not a Stark.
Oh, eventually, yeah. You know? But I'm speaking solely to Sansa, because even when, you know, Sansa has been through so much, and I feel like she has a sense, not of entitlement, but she feels like I've been through hell and back, and I feel like I deserve to do something good, if not for my, because... Mm. When she was even talking in the council chamber at the beginning of the season, they were talking about splitting up the castles between all of the Northmen. That, you know, they were like,
yeah,
we should give the castles that were fighting against us in the Battle of the Bastards to the people who fought with us. Why would he give it back to those people? And then Jon's like, no, this is what I say. I'm the king, or I'm the one. And she's
but he
like,
also
oh,
had,
okay.
He also made the smarter choice.
Well, yeah, but she.
I think she's learning a lot about what it is to be.
She's been always been told to stay in her place for, you know, since the beginning of the series, and now that she's getting a little bit more power, or not power, but she's been through so much. She's,
yeah.
I think she feels like, at every turn, you know, there's something else oppressing her. And not saying that Arya is oppressing her.
I get what
like
you
that,
mean.
But it's like,
I don't know if I would say, I mean, I think with her, like, I think she's very much similar to Cersei, not in the sense of like Cersei can't fight or anything like that, but she is smart, and like Sansa's obviously smart, and so
she's a good leader, because even when
exactly
they
what
were
I mean, yeah, I think that she, like, you see Jon, and Jon's a general, Jon's a fighter, Jon is smart, and Jon's a man of the people. Arya is now a fighter in a sense. Bran is powerful in his own right. He's knowledgeable. She can be significant without having to be a fighter.
Well, I think that's where like my point comes from. Like, she's still trying to find her significance.
I think she is. You know, I think as it goes on.
Oh yeah, eventually, yeah, she will be. You know, I think what's gonna happen. I'm not gonna go on theories, because that's not what the show's about. But like, I think when all is said and done, and the show is over, I think Sansa will be lady of some, either Winterfell, or
Winterfell,
you know, like
sure.
she's definitely gonna take
wants,
over her home.
You know?
Yeah, she just wants to, you know, serve or not lead her people.
And I mean, if the series ended today in regards to like, everything's found out about what we know right now, right? She would be the Lady of Winterfell, you know, because Bran didn't want it, and Bran's not going to take it, you know.
Well, that I think to rule, I guess not, but is it like a standard that
I think the North would stay behind her?
Well, yeah, because even when she was trapped with Ramsay, that old lady was like, the North remembers, so they're always going to back up a Stark no matter what. So
exactly.
I feel that
I think she would get it like easily,
right? You know? And I think that look that she gave Arya was like, yeah, confusion and intrigue, and you know,
I
all
think
these
it was
things.
A few things wrapped in one.
Yeah, I think there was more to than just been like, okay, that was really random, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, I overanalyze and I over speculate, but some of the big points of this show were very subtle, you know, when
sure,
like
yeah.
when we go down. When you go to Dragonstone.
Yeah, as I say, so next they go to Dragonstone. So Daenerys obviously is there, and with you know, the instructions that
right.
Sam.
Well, just the way they set up, what I mean by subtle is like when they set up and they go down in the cave.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So that's what, you know, with the instructions that Sam sent to Jon, they go looking for that dragon glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we see the scene, and it pans out, and there's just a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, not just like a little. I make it sound like
it's
not. I don't have very good descriptive powers. Obviously, by the way, I say good.
Let's just say
powers.
It's enough.
It's a whole heaping of dragon glass, and enough to make, you know, weapons for a whole army to defeat the White Walkers.
Yeah.
And then they go deeper into the cave, and they find cave carvings and drawings from the... Is it the Children of the Corn or something? I don't know. What's it called? Like the Children of the Wood or something?
Children of the Forest.
Children of the Forest, and... it
who are responsible for creating
the
White Walkers.
Yeah. So it's like implied that, well, then on the cave drawings, there's like kind of like a story being told out where there's like these are the children of the forest
and the first men.
And the first men, and they not only do they exist, but they coexisted together to fight the White Walkers. And then they pans over to this the drawing of the White Walkers, a very detailed drawing with complete
you
with
and
blue
I
eyes.
Were wondering how we got the blue eyes.
Seriously, like for some reason I was like, what?
There's sapphires?
I know, seriously. I thought there was going to be like some deeper meaning to that. But what I mean by the subtlety thing is like you know, Jon is like telling Daenerys this story and this tale of, you know, how the children and the first men. And they're like, they fought together against the White Walkers. And we need to fight together. And she's like, yeah, we definitely will.
And she said,
once you bend the knee.
Yeah,
and
she said
like
that she'd fight for him again. And then he made a good point. You know, he said, my people aren't going to let another southern ruler rule over them. And but she made a good point, too, at the same time. And she goes, she will if, you know, you.
Right.
If they believe
to me
in you.
And
you know?
I will help you.
Not, yeah, and but at the same time, she. Like, every time she says it to him, she sounds so, like, ruly and, like, and straightforward to it. But
like
she
like
did
a
make
dictator
it.
Dictator almost.
Yeah, but she made it sound a little softer when she said, you know, if you, it's something you believe in, they'll follow it too, you know? Later on, John and John is, you know, kind of walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And Davos is with them, and they talk to Miss Sandy, and she kind of.
This is later on in the show.
Yeah,
so
I'm saying she kind of explains. The softer side of her too, so
right.
John's slowly starting to see that. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a great line that Davos says, or no, John's like, they're discussing like the, you know, how John thinks of Daenerys, and Davos is like, yeah, she's a pretty good ruler. She's like, yeah, she's got a good heart. And Davos is like, oh, yeah, I saw you admiring her heart. And he's like, there's no time for that. And everybody's like, nope.
Yeah,
nope.
I was like shaking my head. Don't, no, thank you.
We're not Lannisters then, here, okay? We don't do that.
And then I also like that Davos is like, you know, don't be mad at me if I switch sides after Miss Sandy explained to him that she was freed by her, and then she was all, she's, you know, not necessarily her slave. She's doing slave-like things, but she can leave at any point she wanted to.
Right.
She stressed that to him. That's like, yeah, I do these things for her. I'm like her right hand lady, but like I can leave whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which was, I think, again, you know, seeing that side. Yeah.
They choose to be.
Mm-hmm. Everybody behind, chose to be.
Just how it is with John, you know, because
exactly,
like even like when Davos was explaining in last episode, he was like. Like he has no birthright. He's a damn bastard. Like he has no claims to any lands or, you know, any mm-hmm. fealties. And yet all these men wanted him to lead, you know, the battlefield. He stood against all Ramsay's army knowing that he will die, and people were inspired by that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that it's really hard to kind of, because there's a lot of fans out there that are like, yeah, you know what, just John bend the knee, we can all live happily ever after. And the other fans are like, you know what, Daenerys, just why don't you let John be king of the North?
And John's always been
kind of reluctant,
hard-headed.
To be,
I mean, but in like a good way,
to be to rule, because he's like, I don't care. I don't, it's like, I don't want to be king of the North, is what a lot of his expressions say. He's like, I just want to lead my people against a threat that's coming, and I can use your help, and you can use mine.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and so it's gonna be interesting to see where they go from this episode of the next one, but you know, but we'll get to that big moment here in a minute. But
I mean, a lot of, because there's only 7 episodes in this season.
Yeah, there's only 3 left,
and there's the consistency going with each
episode. Like I was telling you, I think each episode's gonna be solidly good.
Well, I think the way it's gonna be structured is before in past episodes and seasons, there'd be like something happens, you know, something big happens in the beginning, something happens mm-hmm. in the middle, something happens at the end, then
typically,
blah, blah. But it seems the there's a regularity of episodes where there's a lot of explanation, a lot of counseling,
big
and
significant
then a big,
ending.
Yeah, big mm-hmm. ending. And
well, I think this was good because, like you said, this had a lot of nice smaller moments too. Like mm-hmm. so, like one of my favorite moments of this episode was, like I was saying, right before the big moment mm-hmm. was when the Greyjoys came back and Jon and Theon.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that was like something like we were waiting for Arya to come back. We assumed Bran would come back, but like
we did not expect.
I didn't expect Theon to come across Jon.
Not so soon and not so like abruptly because
because Jon's walking over there to like potentially help. Maybe he doesn't really like the Greyjoys, but hey, I'll help whatever. And Theon turns around and he just stops. He's like,
because as far as there's been a lot that's happened since the Red Wedding and since everything that's been going down. Not that Theon betrayed, but like.
Theon betrayed Rob,
but it's not like he led to the Red Wedding. But like a lot of what Jon knows about Theon ended at the Red Wedding. Pretty much everything that's happened since, I'm just using that as a time point, you know, like
mm-hmm.
from then on, Jon's always had this idea of Theon as the traitor that, you know, that went against Rob and took my home.
Yeah, yeah. So and obviously Jon is aware of what Theon did.
Right. To his knowledge, because I think, does Jon know that Bran's alive? Or, I mean, he knew Rickon was alive, but
he knows Bran's alive in the next episode because the trailer did say that Bran had a vision of the White Walkers coming towards the Wall. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know if he's already aware and it's gonna be something slight, or if he's gonna get a message from Sansa to be like, hey, Bran and Arya are both here.
They both are. Our siblings are
remember,
alive.
Remember an episode ago when I was like, hey, we don't have any freaking food. Well, there's 2 more mouths, but. Great. Yeah, no, in that aspect, I don't know if he knows as of right now, but what I know that he's aware of.
I want to.
Because I remember there's an episode where he finds out that Theon betrayed Rob. I think around the same time mm-hmm. he finds out Rob's dead.
Yeah. I wanted Jon to punch Theon so bad.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I'm glad. So he ends up.
Him one.
Yeah, he ends up grabbing him by his like collar.
Yeah.
And he says, because Theon asks about Sansa, and he said, the only reason I'm not killing you right now is because of what you did for Sansa. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like. He's very aware that I don't think
he's a just man. Like he's like, you know, I'm not gonna do it. Just
yeah,
because
I think
of
he
anger.
Knows that, you know, Theon isn't the exact reason that Rob is dead.
Right.
But he obviously, you know, still.
But he doesn't. I mean, if I were Jon, I would not trust Theon either. Because I'm like, if you're willing to betray,
if
you were so loyal to us, because I even remember the episode where Theon was like, I will follow. He's talking to Rob. And he's like, I will follow you. To my death, you know,
and then that's why it's such a big deal that he betrayed him.
So that was a big subtle moment where it was just like there was a lot of emotion. But the biggest moment, I think, I mean, was there anything else, I mean, in this episode that really stood out to you other than
you mean like little things?
Yeah.
Obviously I enjoyed the conversation of the three Stark children, mm-hmm. you know. I liked the little back and forth that Daenerys and Missandei had when she asked her about Grey Worm.
Yeah.
That was kind of like, you know, a nice little soft moment compared to all the hard, you know, talkings of war and such. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to kind of see, like, you know,
there was lighter moments.
Yeah, lighter moments. And I also liked Daenerys, like, after they came out of Under the Mountain,
mm-hmm.
to talk to, we'll just come out in general, and then
they find out about Highgarden and Grey Worm.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Tyrion and
or not Highgarden.
They find out about Castle Rock.
Yeah, Castle Rock.
But so what I was saying was, you know, they come out and Varys and Tyrion are there, and they tell her that the Unsullied succeeded in capturing Castle Rock. She's like, "That's great," and they're like, "Well, they let us," and like, then they told her about Highgarden, and she's like, "Oh God, you know, not they're happy."
Like, they're like, "We have Castle Rock."
Yeah, she's like, "That's great.
We want to lead off with that first."
Whoa, wait.
But like, but yeah.
But I like that she, you know, asked John his point of view, because you're like, okay, they're starting to trust mm-hmm. each other more. And John mm-hmm. said, you know, you could go. Like, I can tell that you want to be a better.
Because she's contemplating about going straight up to King's Landing.
And remember, remember this is after their conversation about
Dragonglass,
and so she, you know, working together, and so slowly building that. And, mm-hmm. and she asked him what he would do, and he says, you know, and after he talked to Missandei too, so he knows the softer side slowly.
Right.
And he's like, you know, excuse me, I get, you know, that you want to do this. I know you want to be a different ruler, but if you go and do that, you're going to be just like all the rest.
Yeah,
of
you know better.
Yeah, and so she came up with a different idea, one that doesn't put, you
which
know,
was actually strategically
some people
smarter
into place. And I'm sorry, actually, I was mistaken. Them talking to Missandei actually came after that. So.
Right.
But anyway, so they decided instead to go to Highgarden,
which was kind of like the meat and potatoes of that episode.
Yeah. So as of right now, Jaime was as of that scene, Jaime is he's transporting the gold and everything back to
The Iron Bank.
And I almost kind of thought something would happen, because earlier in the episode, Cersei's talking to...
She's talking to one of the
Iron Bank.
Yeah, one of the like the leaders of the Iron Bank, and he's basically saying, we'll support you as long as you pay us, but that's only after you pay us.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
She's under the impression that... he's under the impression that, you know, he's going to be paid. They're going to be paid. You know, the money's on the way. And that's Tycho... what is his last name? Tycho...
Watiti.
Nestoris.
Nestoris, okay.
Yeah, it's Mark Gatiss, who I love so much.
Said he was from Sherlock.
Yeah, he's from Sherlock. He plays Sherlock's brother.
Mycroft.
Yeah, he plays Mycroft. He's from Game of Thrones, obviously. But
really?
He also writes some Sherlock, and he also writes Doctor Who.
Nice.
Doctor Who just got a new main writer, so I'm not sure exactly how much he'll be writing.
Mm.
But he has definitely done that in the past since the 05 reignition of that show. I was like, man, something might happen with that money. And sure enough, something did happen with that money. You know?
So what happened was they go to the scene of Highgarden, and it's like a back and forth between Jaime and Bronn. And Bronn
just
is like...
Just like a conversation.
Yeah, and,
like
and it's just like, it's kind of like the calm before the storm, because mm-hmm. Bronn is like, he just gets paid by Jaime, and he's like, okay, and? And Jaime's like, what are you talking about, and? That's a lot of gold.
A little earlier, but yeah. Get back to that
right, but there's plot. Like a back and forth where Bronn is just like, I want more than just what I want, and so there's like,
I want a castle.
Exactly. And so they go back to the scene at Highgarden, where they're basically saying, yeah, everything's over the mountain or something, over the pass, that everything, all the last of the Highgarden gold is going to the Iron Bank, so it's all secure. But they still have a majority of the forces at Highgarden Station.
Yeah, they're pretty much leaving down Rose Road.
Right.
Such hard.
And it was great, because the scene that set up the initial attack was just, all you hear was just like kind of like this rumbling, and Jaime hears it and he's like, oh, something's going on. So he's like, everybody get in line. There's something happening right now. Expect an attack. And then, at first, what I thought was, I thought we were going to see, like, the dragon come up first and just start roasting people, but it's actually the Dothraki first.
Yeah, and also, one thing I did like, but it always kind of reminds me, so Randall Tarly was mm-hmm. there, and that's, you know, that's Sam Lowe's dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then...
the guy with him.
And then Dickon Tarly is there as well.
Oh,
and
good old Dickon.
I just remember, Bron laughing at him a lot. And obviously he's Sam's brother.
Right.
You know, funny.
Is that Sam's brother?
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Brother. True story, actually. They had a different actor playing him, you know, last season. And it's the guy that we saw last night, too. Just the I mean, very similar looking guys. But
they change out a lot of people on that show. I mean, I'm not surprised.
Very true.
Next season, they're like, there's a new Jon Snow. No, I'm totally kidding. That would be horrible.
Yeah, but anyway, so it's the Dothraki
Horde.
Horde,
that
swarm, all that.
Coming with, and Jaime thinks that he's got these, like, okay, it's just an army. We'll get ready. I mean, it's a sizable army, but, I mean, as long as we're organized.
Shield up.
Yeah, we're an organized military unit. We know how to take down, you know, horsemen.
And at the
that.
Same time, Bronn's telling him he needs to leave. He said, you're not a soldier anymore. You're a general. Like, you need to get out of here. And he's like, nah, no, I'm not doing that.
No, I can't. They won't follow me if I do, type deal. And then that's when Jaime's eyes just light up and you just see.
Because you hear first. I like what the way they did it, because I thought you're going to slowly see bigger, smaller, 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 getting bigger and bigger. But it just came through the cloud.
Yeah. Daenerys riding Drogon. And you just see Jaime like that, oh, damn, type.
I think he was just like, because I don't think well, he's seen a dragon, obviously, back to the...
We'll put it this way. Those pants were not very clean after that moment.
That reminds me of the conversation that Bronn's having where he's like, yeah, people go to the bathroom when they die.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like, he kind of like shake, like Dickon.
Oh, yeah, because Dickon was like, I didn't know there's like the smell.
He's like, I found that out when I was 5.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, Bronn.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so... And dragons there to fight.
Oh man, it was such, and the way they rendered the dragon was so amazing. Oh, yeah. Like the CGI for it was just
the whole
incredible.
Scene was done
yeah.
so well,
because it was a very hectic scene. Like it was kind of like when going back to the Battle of the Bastards, and there's that great scene where the two armies finally meet on the battlefield, you know, and
when Jon's standing in the middle of
yeah, and it's just like a
just
it,
chaos.
It reminded me of Saving Private Ryan, where like it's like a POV shot of just following John, and there's just like stuff going by, and it's shaky cam, and there's like arrows coming down, and it's kind of like a full immersive feel to it, and that's kind of like what the same thing they do with that, and it's great because the way they initially you thought that Daenerys is just gonna swoop in with on Drogon and just kind of roast the line that they created, but she actually does something smarter where she comes in. And she's like, Dracarys, and, you know, that's like the word for Drogon. So, yeah.
To him to light it up.
Yeah. And he breaks the ranks, actually.
He literally does like a hole in them.
For the Dothraki to go through. Mm-hmm. And then it's so awesome because you don't know the full extent of power that Drogon's fire has, or the dragon's fire have, because you think that it's just kind of like a flamethrower or napalm where it just lights people on fire and they burn. No, it's like
it's got
instant
force too. Yeah,
there's like instant incineration. Like there's like one scene where Drogon just like breathes fire, and then the next scene all you just see is like ash and like remnants of body, and it's really quite intimidating, because right after that you see like this wall of fire. And I don't mean to keep describing the scene for scene, but like this, the whole the first initial sight of all like the Dothraki jumping over the fire, and then like them jumping off their horses with their bullets. Like, it's an incredible battle scene.
We're gonna take a quick break and watch it real quick.
Yeah, sorry, we've talked ourselves
into
it.
Maybe we'll do it after this. But no, something that's kind of, you know, just I think people forget when they watch shows is obviously people that direct and write this stuff have underlying points, you know, like when you read like a book or something publication, like Star Wars, for example,
right.
Like you, like the, some of the, like the Revenge of the Sith book, had a lot of different, like motivations, for like Count Dooku and Darth Sidious talking before Anakin gets there, like more things in depth that you don't always get, you know, in visual stuff.
Right. Right.
Something I really liked in this was like, obviously they were outmanned. There was a dragon.
Right.
Jaime's, the Lannister Tarly armies.
Right.
They were outmanned. But he was able to rally them in a sense like twice almost. Like they started to slow up the Dothraki. And I think it kind of looked more like, you know, one big attack against them as opposed to a battle.
Right.
Because of all the fire and how many of them died. But I think at the same time,
right,
you know, I mean, we saw how many in the preview stayed alive.
There's a good chunk that did stay alive.
Yeah, I mean,
we're talking about the preview for next episode.
Yeah,
but there's a good chunk of Lannister / Tarly army that's still alive.
I think they did a good job at least kind of doing...
Sending a message at least.
Well, not even sending a message, but just doing well enough to, you know, like, they, there was a dang dragon. Right. And, you know, some
I'm talking about they did a Daenerys did a very good job of sending a message to Cersei. She like, did, I can yeah. I can light literally light you guys up. Like
she
don't
did,
test
for
me.
Sure.
But I think what's it's interesting that you do say that because it just it just shows like how much Jaime is
Jaime's probably the best general.
He is because he sees the dragon and it's flying it and it's destroying like all of, like the carriages and all like his
That's one thing we forgot to say. So it destroyed the supplies and all the money.
Yeah, everything that was going towards the Iron Bank. And instead of like
Cersei's in trouble.
Instead of like turning around and like getting the you know, getting the hell out of here, like any rational person would do when they see a flying drag or a flying creature that can breathe fire. Yeah. He's like, okay, all the archers get form up and
he's
try
yeah,
to bring it
he
down.
Went straight
like
into
very level-headed, so he's very... Yeah. But it was also really cool because when they did shoot the arrows, I just like how they just bounced off of Drogon.
Well,
like
he's got dragon scales.
I know, but it was just so...
pretty tough.
It just gives you like more context of exactly how powerful these things are.
I also think this is a really well-directed episode in the sense of like the people on fire, like they showed people like with their armor being melted to them, trying to take their armor off. Like just visually, it was you know
they're like trying
to. I struggle to think and remember that it's a TV show still sometimes, right. And I know it's HBO, so it's not like it's on.
No, dude,
dang
this really
ABC,
happened, man.
But
I remember reading this in high school.
Exactly.
No, like there's this one crazy scene because there's like you said, it's really descriptive, just like our book. Like it shows everything, you know. It even shows like the soldiers going into the river to try to get the fire off or try to put the fire out. Get the fire off them. Dog crews, get the fire off them.
They did try to, you see some of them trying to crawl to the water and.
Yeah, it's just a really impactful scene. And what's really great about it is you're not really rooting for either side because, yeah, you kind of are rooting for Daenerys to destroy all the supplies, but you have to remember that Jaime and Bronn are also kind of, it's just kind of like a hectic scene, hectic episode because they do have the scorpion,
The
crossbow.
You got it, yeah. The scorpion crossbow is what you can call it. The Quinburn's anti-dragon scorpion bolt launcher.
Yeah. Wow, that's a mouthful. You know, I'm just going to call it crossbow. Basically, it's the anti-dragon gun. And they...
Perfect.
And you see that Jaime commands Bronn, like, hey, I can't do that because, you know, my one hand...
Yeah, I guess he kind of does tell him, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's like...
Because it's over there, and he goes, go get it. And he's like, I can't shoot with one hand.
It'd be really cool if Jaime was like, I got a great idea, okay? Got to listen to me. Bear with me on this one, okay? I have a plan. Take out the dragon. You go over there. There's a big dragon gun.
In
okay?
the line of fire.
You go do
you
that.
Shoot it.
You shoot it. And I'll stay here.
There was one thing, too, in that scene that you and I kind of looked at each other and said to ourselves where we're like, why is no one attacking Bronn? Like, I know.
Like,
it wasn't like they were going out of their way to protect him.
Right. He like even makes like a big, like the way they even reveal the gun, like like a carriage like legit just disintegrates around this gun.
No. So what it was is... He was being chased by a Dothraki, so he's riding over there. He's really cool and collected, and he's then coming at him as a Dothraki warrior. And so he takes out one of his knives. And he tries to throw it at him, and the dude just smacks it out of the air with a sword.
It's actually kind
of
cool.
Then then Bronn takes his sword out, and they're coming at each other. And then what you'd expect from a fighter that's more savage than necessarily a you know soldier in a formed
army. Well, Bronn's
army
more calculated too. Like he
in a sense,
yeah,
but he's also a brawler sort of. But
right.
The Dothraki warrior straight cuts the leg off of
one of the
legs of the horse.
He hangs off the horse. The Dothraki hangs off the horse of his horse.
So then Bronn gets thrown, and then he's lost his sword. So he's not in like a cowarding way, but he runs. Well, he tries to get away from him.
Yeah, he's in a.
And so he's still getting chased, and then you know a flaming wagon goes in front of him. So the Dothraki you know gets off his horse, and he's coming after him. And he's like, "Where'd Bronn go? Where'd Bronn go?" And then he climbs up on this like carriage, and he opens it up, and he's chest to one of the arrows.
Oh yeah,
of the scorpion and then Bronn shoots him. And then the top of this thing almost comes down like a suitcase. Like one side goes, and then the other side goes.
But then
he's ready to go. And then I realized why Jaime couldn't do this because it has two wheels on each side,
crank
and
that.
You have to crank one like up and one down at the same time, like alternating to spin it certain ways.
Right.
And so he had to spin it to aim.
He could have put like his hand in there and just. Pinwheeled that thing and just cranked it with his.
I think it's better than Bronn. I mean, personally, I like Bronn a lot. And you were like, "Please don't kill Drogon. Please don't kill Drogon." And I was like,
I really did. I was like,
I didn't think they were going to. I thought exactly what happened.
I thought
they
didn't think they were going to kill those Starks like that either in Red Wedding. So like, it's
but you didn't think
they were going to kill a lot of people. There's a lot of favorite characters out there.
I told you too, kind of from my point of view. I said I didn't think that the very first time that they used this thing, it would kill one of the dragons, like, first go. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, kill Bronn. I'm like, no, I like Bronn. Like, I think Bronn is one of those characters that just needs to go off.
I think I would just be
and just be alone. Like, right. Not necessarily be alone, like, he needs to be alone, but, like, finish what he's doing and then just kind of go and live his life and be happy, because he's been good and sort of bad right. in regards to helping Jaime. But, you know, I think but he just needs to go and live your life.
Well, he's a sail sword, so it's like basically anybody can pay him. But I think reason why he sticks with the Lannisters is because they do pay him handsomely. But he even knows, like, dude, you guys are broke. If I was Bronn, I'd be like, you know what? You guys are bringing on way too much slack for me. You guys want me to basically win wars for you, and I'm not doing that. That's how I would be for Bronn. That's how, if I were Bronn, I'd be in that kind of mindset. Yeah. But I think I was, like, kind of a little bit too, like, not emotional, but I was, like, too, like...
You were getting into it.
I just didn't want them to kill the dragon because...
Well, neither did I.
It'd be dumb if they did, but also, I'm, like, when I say they should have killed Bronn, I'm more along the lines of... someone should have stopped them. I'm, like, no one saw him take 5 minutes to crank this thing.
And what I think, too, personally, is I think that... Drogon wouldn't be the first to die. I think it would be like
Viserion or
something
like that.
Yeah, I think it would be like exactly.
The jerk dragon that jerk just dragon. Burns goats.
No, yeah. I definitely think it was him that killed the goat too. As opposed to, I don't think it was.
Oh, no, it was Drogon, because Drogon's just really like, Drogon's like a serial killer. He kills small animals first.
Well, if Viserys or Rhaegal dies, I would be less sad if it was Drogon. But anyways.
Right.
So
if any of them die, though, they're all so like...
But like Drogon, sad.
You know,
sad.
I was talking
Viserys,
with...
Viserys, Rhaegal,
right?
a little sad.
I was talking to one of the chefs that I work with, and I was like, is it me or... I mean, I know he's the biggest and the best, but, you know, I wonder if the dragons are like, hey, Mom... We notice you kind of favor Drogon a little bit.
Like,
more.
You always ride him.
Yeah, you locked us in a dungeon last time.
Only
like,
us.
What? Like, what? Like, he killed a child, and you locked us up?
And she's like, well, to be fair, he's named after my late husband, and you're named after my crazy...
You're named after the dog.
You're named after my crazy uncle and my peace crab brother. So,
yeah,
so, sit in the cave.
I kind of feel sad for the other two dragons.
Oh, shut up!
They're
fine.
They're just kind of
they were
there.
Flying all free.
I'm like
the
they.
Episode.
Well, everybody makes a big deal out of she has three fully grown dragons.
And look at what
she
did with one.
Only uses one.
Well, she only needed to use one. And look what she did. Anyways, so going kind of going back
like
to that.
That dragon's gonna start like drinking, gonna do drugs, gonna start getting random tattoos just to spite his mom.
Well, Viserion.
Both of them.
They're Viserys.
Yeah, they're gonna start doing crazy stuff because crazy kids do crazy things.
Well, what I was saying, Viserys. Yeah. So, you saw what happened with Drogon, and so,
oh yeah,
he's Bronn's setting up the scorpion. He's going to shoot. He misses the first one, and it kind of goes over, pretty much where Daenerys is. And
right.
We're like, whoa,
she must take out Daenerys. I was like, dang.
Yeah, and and then he fires up again right where Jaime is, and Jaime barely gets out of there. And then loads it up again, and sure enough, gets him right in the wing, just like I figured it would. But it doesn't.
A lot of people that I was talking to thought that it was going to hit him right in the mouth or something.
No, I was like, I was assuming it would do what it did. I was hoping it wouldn't hit him somewhere.
Like, right,
lethal.
Somewhere like.
But
critical.
So he starts free falling, and then gains his power again, and then he's like, it was like, uh-oh. And he's facing Bronn, and Bronn's like, okay. And he gets out of there, and then Drogon just lights it up and destroys it. And then, looks like
the
battle's
not
the
only one,
over.
Though, isn't it? Because they said they're working on
No, they
on
have one
at
King's Landing.
I think
they sent the one that they had with him, but they're still making more. I mean,
right.
you would assume they would have one for travel, which is obviously turned out to be useful. But, and then Drogon lands, and Daenerys gets off of him. And she starts pulling.
In all her wisdom.
Yeah, and starts pulling at. Well, that's what I mentioned, too. I saw a really good comparison, which I'll mention in a second. But, she starts, she cares for Drogon, obviously, immensely. So she starts trying to pull it out of him, the big arrow. And Jaime's like, I'm going to go kill her.
Yeah.
She's
my golden opportunity.
Yeah, he starts just
she's
charging
right next
at her.
To the dragon now.
Yeah, she's just charging at her. He's charging at her on his horse. He picks up a spear on the way.
You got to give props to Jaime, though. That takes, like, guts to do that. He's like, you know what? There's a giant dragon, and my main enemy is right there. You know what? I'm going to go for it.
Yeah,
go for broke.
And what we didn't mention earlier, which I was confused as to why he was there, but Tyrion is there, and he kind of walks up to a vantage point which he can watch, and he sees him, and he's like, please, he's like, just leave, idiot, leave, because he knows that But I think he knows if he charges Drogon, right, she's going to light him up. Which,
right,
as he gets closer and closer and closer, Daenerys turns to him and sees him. And she kind of has like a...
Like, not, bring it. Like,
not
come on.
Yeah, not necessarily fearful, not necessarily bring it. Kind of like a...
Like a really?
Oh, he, okay, here he is. And then
like, dude, really?
Let's see how this turns out. And then Drogon's face...
No, no, keep going, keep going. I want to see how this turns out.
And then Drogon's face comes into frame in front of her, and mm-hmm, then you see his throat fire up, and he's about to do it. And then what I assume is Bronn.
It is Bronn.
I thought maybe it'd be Dickon. Only because I couldn't make out for sure who it is, but I'm like 98% sure.
Well, Dickon had already saved Jaime earlier.
True, true. I didn't think that too. But at the same time, I would say 98% it's
more likely
Bronn,
yeah.
And he tackles him into the water, and then that's how
the
episode ends.
Because Bronn just shows up at the most random times. I mean, they're always like in the nick of time type deal. Mm-hmm. But Bronn, like even at the Battle of Blackwater, like it was Bronn that fired the bolt that lit the wildfire and destroyed Stannis Baratheon's army. So he's always kind of just...
He's been very
he's
successful.
Yeah, he's the ringer. He's just kind of like there at the right time, right place type deal.
Yeah.
And what I also wanted to point out about just the, you know, the way they set up the scene and the sounds and the sights and everything, there's a great scene where they're following Bronn after he gets dehorsed or whatever. And there's just like hell around him. And then there's this one great shot where it's kind of like again, it's a POV shot, and it's kind of a shaky cam. And Bronn just running away, and all you see is like Drogon fly over. There's like a gust of fire that's going past him. There's a guy with a sword in him. He takes a sword out of him. It's just, there's so much going on, and you have to like really analyze the whole aspect of it, because it's almost like being in an actual war zone. Like it's just really just crazy. Like you don't know what's gonna happen. But what I thought was really cool and was really, it was just like one of those spine-chilling moments is when you hear the this is like before the backtracking here, when the dragon finally shows up and it, you know, flies in below the clouds, like you said, it comes in out of the clouds,
it comes right through a cloud. I was like, whoa.
And it goes kind of silent at first, and then all you hear is like the rolling of the fire that comes from the dragon.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was just like, you knew that to most of those characters, that was the last sound that they hear, was just like the gurgling of the fire when he finally spits it out. But it was just an intense episode, and I think it just shows, you know, just scene by scene by scene, like what these dragons and what their power, you know, what they can do. And like I said, it was beautifully rendered. It was shot like no other. I mean, it compared that to the Battle of the Bastards, like it was an intense scene. Like it really shows what the showrunners are capable of, given the right amount of time and preparation to really, because they knew beforehand if they're gonna have a show with dragons, they have to deliver on, you know, impressing people, especially if they're gonna try to top each and every single episode. And I think the one thing after seeing this episode that runs through my mind is, how are they going to top the next episode? Because in the first episode, it was, you know, it was kind of like the explanation episode. This is what we're going to do. Bring it back in. Second episode was that ship battle with Theon. Third episode was Daenerys and Jon meeting and everything like that. And then this was, you know, the dragon like awakening or whatever. The Kingdom Come of Dragons. And
yeah, definitely probably the most intense episode to date so far.
And I mean, it's the episode ends where Jaime's charging at the dragon, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And then at the last second, I'm assuming it's Bronn.
I just read something and it said Bronn too, so I think most people assume it's also Bronn.
Yeah, and he leaps, just great
huge
leap.
Jump.
I was like, where did you come from? Like,
beautiful jump.
Like he had some like force behind that too. It's like, and Jaime was on a horse, so it's hard to jump to like tackle somebody over. Mm-hmm. But someone who was like mounted on a like at least a good, you know,
six feet
of horse.
Yeah. And Bronn's not the tallest dude.
No, I don't know what.
And
hill
it also
you were
looked like
from.
It was the water bank too. So he's coming from an incline. So you're running downhill. It's not easy to jump up like that.
I don't know why. I just see in my head just
trampoline.
You know, like you know that like you do that like long stride run where you're going down a hill, all you can just see is Bronn.
No,
like
down a hill is short stride. You gotta like chop your feet, but I get what you mean. Yeah,
you just have big bounds trying to keep it like you don't fall over. All I see is just Bronn going, I got you, and just like leaping.
And he really
nowhere.
Hit him too. And then it ends with him, you know, slowly kind of going down
sinking.
In the water. But I'm like,
Jaime,
I'm like, his eyes are open. I was like, I guess I get why you're not going to the top. You know, there's a dragon right there, but like,
where are you going?
Why are you just sinking?
I know. Like, are you just going to admit defeat? Or, I mean,
well, doubtful, but
I know.
It kind of leads me to believe what's going to happen in the next episode, because you know, do they get away? Because obviously she gets some of his forces. But that leads me to what I was going to say for next week. So next week's episode is called Eastwatch. There's no plot yet. They usually announce that the day of, kind of thing. But
when it says Eastwatch, like I said to you last time we were watching the show, I really hope nothing bad happens to Tormund, because that's where Eastwatch is, and that it's saying something like, Bran had like a vision of all the
White Walkers coming
to Eastwatch. Yeah, I'm like, ooh, something's gonna go down, and probably Tormund's gonna be the end of it. So I think that's what's gonna be.
I really hope nothing happens to Tormund.
Mm-hmm.
But so Eastwatch. So we see in the preview, Daenerys talking to the both sides of the soldiers, of the whom she just beat. The who's who of the alive,
Right.
But you don't see, Jaime or Bronn there. And so she says, I'm not here to murder you. You can join me, or you'll die.
Right.
Which makes sense, because she did just lose a majority of her army, in a sense, And hey, you were formerly.
So, okay, so she has the Dothraki with her still.
Yeah.
How many people?
Lots.
They said a little under 10,000 that she has at her command with the Dothraki.
Yeah.
And the Unsullied are how much at Casterly Rock?
I would have to go back and...
Because let's just...
I mean, she still has probably
She has a size... enough to, march on King's Landing, take it over in a day.
Yeah, I mean, she could do that with a dragon, but she's not going to, at least right now.
Right. So what she's going to try to do is do the long road and just... Because what's her strategy here? She has to go from place to place with her dragons and.
Well, I think that she just went to go do this. You're gonna kill my forces. Well, guess what? I'm gonna destroy yours. I'm gonna take back what's mine.
I think the money went through though.
No, he destroyed pretty much. They destroyed pretty much every.
I think in the scene,
single one.
That scene with Dickon, and when they were talking before everything was going down. That scene with the father.
Did they send it ahead?
I think I think they're like. The last of the gold is through the pass or something like that on its way. The last of the gold is on the way to the King's Landing.
Yeah.
So I think they have a sizable amount of the gold going towards King's Landing to the Iron Bank. So I think what they did was just kind of do a fatal blow towards the army and the supplies. Or at least they know that, if anything, Daenerys is aware that they have a weapon, or one of many weapons, that can take down a dragon.
Yeah, obviously, because I did read too that, kind of on the recaps of these episodes, that Drogon was hit, but it was superficial. Even that was his scales are so thick, it still didn't even get him that bad.
Well, the way they shot it when they first started testing it out, when the Maester guy, I don't know what his name is, and Cersei were shooting or testing it out, they shot it through the eye. So you'd have
through
to
bone, that's without any scales.
You know, you'd have a very precise shot to take down one of them. And there's three of them. So I mean, I highly doubt. It wounded, it grounded him definitely. But
well, it's almost grounded him, not all the way. It's Maester Quinburn. Quibburn.
He freaks me out.
He's a weird dude. Mm-hmm.
You know what I remember him from? He's the one of the lords from Pirates of the Caribbean, the sucky one. So anything after three, what's it called?
Well, the lords are in the third one.
No, he's one of the he's one of the king's councilmen, and it's on Stranger Tides. It's the beginning of on Stranger Tides. That's the one place I remember that guy from.
I Stranger Tides is definitely the one I've seen probably the least. I love the original three, the fourth and the fifth are okay, but
the fourth and the fifth are ass.
The fifth is better than the fourth. But
I'm sorry, I really hated the last two.
That's okay. The fifth was better than the fourth, but yeah, they weren't as good as the first three.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember that, to be honest. But hey. You're probably right. I'm not saying you're not.
No, I know I'm right. I'm just that's the one place that I remember that guy from, and he was creepy in Pirates of the Caribbean too. So he's just a creepy guy all around. But was there anything after? No, because it was just Jaime singing to the bottom, right?
Yeah, and then so I was going to say was with Daenerys, she's getting power, not power sick, but she's getting very
drunk with power.
Not drunk with power either. I think she's getting cocky almost, and it's like. She's
counting her chickens
arrogant.
Before they hatch.
She's being arrogant, and so I think,
I think also it's a sense of, not panic, but it's a sense of, she's getting a little impatient.
Sure.
Because even John, when they were meeting up in the last episode, they were like, you're right. You guys could march on King's Landing. Why haven't you? Because you don't want to do the hostile takeover way where you just want to burn everything, because that's not what people want in a new king, like in a new, you know,
ruler.
You don't want to trade one bad ruler for another, you know. Yeah. So I think that's what's frustrating her so much, because she's come so long. She's taken over, you know, all of Esso. She's, you know, won over the trust of the Dothraki. She's gone through, you know, twice. Like, she's gone through hell and back, and she's so close to victory, and it's so easy to attain. Mm-hmm. And now that she's playing the whole safe game and, you know, the responsible game, it's kind of like coming back to bite her, because, you know, now she's lost the Unsullied. She didn't lose the Unsullied, but she's kind of getting set back. So if anything, I think this is just irritating.
She's getting angry, and I think she's getting arrogant a little bit. And so, like, we see at the beginning of the trailer for the next episode, you know, she says, you can join me or you'll die.
Mm-hmm.
And Varys is like, you need to try to
talk her out of it.
Need to get through to her, mm-hmm. because she's playing.
Who does he say that to?
To Tyrion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because Tyrion's her hand. He's the one that can advise her.
Well, she's not really happy with Tyrion either, because she's like, I left you in charge of this whole scheming and planning and war attacks.
Yeah, but I think he definitely
and you messed up Casterly Rock. Now what can I expect from you? I think that's where she's at. She's just kind of.
Well, I think he definitely helped with this past fight also at Highgarden. So
yeah, definitely. But I think initially, yeah, she's still kind of like, I'm irritated because a person that's a potential ally, Jon Snow, he's not playing ball. Tyrion, I mean, he's kind of like one for two on this one. You know, Varys is being Varys.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of things that are going against her right now, and I think she's just getting really, really irritated and really impatient.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be interesting for next week's episode, for sure, to see a lot of what's going to go on. Mm-hmm. I'm really excited. I'm bummed that there's only 7 episodes this year, so it's only 3 more.
I totally forgot about that. When he told me, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. This is going to go quick.
Yeah, we have 3 more episodes. It's literally done.
And then how much time?
27th of this month.
How much time between seasons? Are they going to wait another whole year, or are they shooting something right now?
I don't know if they've announced. Well, because she's doing. I mean, even if they're shooting now, it's still set up to come out around the same time next year.
Well, she's even doing she's doing the Han Solo movie right now.
Yes.
So they can't be shooting right now. Or at least not her scenes, at least.
But then again, you know, with how big their stuff is, I mean, like, it's not like they don't do the Winterfell stuff at the same time they do the Highgarden stuff.
Right.
I'm looking it up right now to see if they have a date for season 8.
I mean, it's not like it's anything different either.
Oh,
because
great. Okay, March 12th, 2017 is when the production started, actually, is when it got... So that's when that got announced fully, and then production started in September. So, or will be starting in September.
Oh, okay.
To next year, and then...
So when will it come out, then?
As expected, premiere in late 2018, early 2019.
Wow.
And...
That's a big chunk of time.
Apparently...
I heard
it'll be 6 episodes only.
But I heard the episodes are going to be longer, like an hour and a half instead of...
Yeah, see, you heard that. I don't know where you heard that.
My buddy at work, who's a big Game of Thrones fan, was like, yeah, they're going to split them up into 2, and then these seasons are going to be shorter, but the episodes are going to be longer. Now, that hasn't really held up, because the episodes have been at the hour mark. But I don't think that's so implausible now, because...
I definitely think it's a potential, you know. All I know is this says season 8 will be shorter than the previous seasons, consisting of 6 episodes due to the smaller amount of story content remaining, as well as the increased production values and time required to film episodes involving larger set pieces than the previous seasons. And then, like I said, September is when they're starting to do that. So it doesn't say anything specifically about time of episodes,
mm-hmm.
just that confirmation that, hey.
Well, even from that episode that we watched, you know, this last Sunday was... It felt like there could be more, you know, like that's the great thing about the show. It leaves you wanting more.
Well, that's the thing, too, is with less episodes, they have more, you know, money for those episodes.
Or to invest in, like, the special effects and, you know.
That's what I mean. Yeah, production value is greater, you know. Mm-hmm.
But all around,
I certainly hope they'll be longer.
Right. So all in all, good episode.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a great episode. I'm really looking forward to next week. Really, really looking forward to next week. So,
all
right. I'm excited, and well, you know, same time, same place for us next week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Watch
so thanks.
Together.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to our first ever official review show. Like I said, we're going to be doing these throughout the week when shows come out. Obviously, we're going to be doing this next week for episode 5 of Game of Thrones. Like I said, when more shows start picking up, we'll definitely do stuff like on Netflix, Stranger Things, Defenders. Definitely be staying tuned for that.
Oh yeah.
The next big comic book movie, or I guess big movie that we're going to be reviewing is going to be, I want to say Blade Runner.
Blade Runner comes out in October.
So yeah, that's the next
Thor's payment. Is before that.
Thor's November.
November?
Yeah, Thor's November along with Justice League. I think it's like a week or two apart from each other.
Now, apologies, you know, forgive me if I'm wrong. You haven't seen the first Blade Runner, is that correct?
Why do I gotta do that? Why do you gotta put me on blast like that? So I had a buddy that had the director's cut. The one that everybody said should be watched because it has more in depth and just more
story. Well, it has the ending story that most people agree with.
Right. I had that in my possession. One of my buddies gave that to me. And good. I was like, I will definitely watch this. I'll take time out of my busy schedule of doing nothing to watch this. And I just never did. And so I eventually gave it back to my buddy. And he's like, did you watch it? And I'm pretty sure for some reason I said yes. I think because I had the movie for so long. And he was like always telling me, hey, I'm counting that movie back, counting that movie back.
Was
like,
this Eli?
No, it was my buddy Steve.
Steve, yes.
Yeah, and so I have yet to get it back and watch it from him. Because I know it's like one of, if I can't call myself a nerd type deal unless I have the, you know, that.
Checked off.
Yeah. So I will definitely be watching it because it looks great.
Tell you what. Let's try to figure out a way to watch it tonight.
If you want, yeah, by all means, yeah.
Let's see what we can do.
By all means.
All right. Well, yeah, again, you know, guys, thanks for listening, tuning in. As always, hey, follow us on Twitter, Partners in Crime Podcast, twitter.com. You can go twitter.com/PIC_podcast. Obviously, SoundCloud is where you can find us as well, the Partners in Crime Podcast, as well as on Twitter. On our SoundCloud is a link to our Twitter, and then I should... It doesn't have a link to our iTunes, but you can find us on there by searching the same name. And then, you know, like, subscribe, you know, leave comments, reviews, all that good stuff. We'd love to hear from you.
Thoughts.
You know, I know feelings. Some of you guys are listening. Please feel free to...
What did you eat today?
Yeah, whatever you want. It doesn't have to be related to what we just talked about. What?
Nothing.
Yeah, we're going to go get some food, and we're going to watch some Blade Runner. And...
Sounds like a plan.
We're going to hang out. So... Thanks, guys, again for listening. Hey, what was the name of this episode?
This is the show called Crime Beat.
Crime Beat.
Like I said,
so
these are going to be coming out
we're going to try to do one every week.
Every week, but...
It'll be something different. It won't always be Game of Thrones. It won't always be movies.
And we'll always be on a Monday. We'll try to make this out.
Maybe Friday. Mm-hmm. Spread it out since we do Sundays, so we don't, you know, overload you. But,
I know.
Yeah, let us know.
You can
what
only
you
listen to us.
Also, let us know what you think of the new theme song. You know, we thought it would be good to, do a separate theme song for a separate style show. So let us know what it sounds like.
Be kind, though.
Be kind. Rewind. Listen to it a few times.
No one's really commented on our initial theme song, so we shouldn't really be jumping the gun on that one.
Let us know about both. I created both of these theme songs. With the help of my friend here, you know, they're loops. They're not
anything
significant. Esteban obviously helped me.
He created the world in 7 days.
Listen. I'm not saying I did it all. I'm just saying I did it mostly. No, I'm kidding. But, yeah, let us know everything you think.
Wow.
And,
Okay.
We are excited to see you next week. So you guys keep tuning in. And as always, I'm Alex.
I'm Esteban.
And, you know, this isn't the regular show, so I'm not going to say my regular catchphrase, but we'll see you guys next time.
Keep
thanks
on
so
the
much.
Beat.
Oh, I like it.